Welcome to the back pages from the Hartford Courant and the Journal Enquirer. Our start with an article sent in by April Domboski of KFF Health News. Alleviating kids' ouchies. Almost all new parents go through it, the distress of hearing their child scream at the doctor's office. They endure the emotional torture of having to hold their child down as the clinician sticks them with one vaccine after another. "The first shots he got, I probably cried more than he did," said Remy Anthus, referring to her six-month-old son, Dorian. "The look in her eyes, it's hard to take," said Jill Lovett, recalling how her infant daughter, Jenna, reacted to some recent vaccines. "Like, what are you letting them do to me? Why?" Some children remember the needle pain and internalize the fear. That's the fear Julia Kramer witnessed when her three-year-old daughter Maya had to get blood drawn for an allergy test at age two. After that, she had a fear of blue gloves, Kramer said. "I went to the grocery store and she saw someone wearing blue gloves stocking the vegetables, and she started freaking out and crying." Pain management research suggests that needle pokes may be children's biggest source of pain in the healthcare system. The problem isn't confined to childhood vaccinations either. Studies looking at the sources of pediatric pain have included children who are being treated for serious illness, have undergone heart surgeries or bone marrow transplants, or have landed in the emergency room. This is so bad that many children and many parents decide not to continue the treatment, said Stefan Friedrichsdorf, a specialist at the University of California, San Francisco's STAD Center for Pediatric Pain. The distress of needle pain can follow children as they grow and interfere with important preventive care. It is estimated that a quarter of all adults have a fear of needles that began in childhood. 16% of adults refuse flu vaccinations because of a fear of needles. Friedrichsdorf said it doesn't have to be this bad. This is not rocket science, he said. He outlined simple steps for clinicians and parents. First, apply over-the-counter lidocaine, which is a numbing cream, 30 minutes before a shot. Breastfeeding babies or giving them a pacifier dipped in sugar water to comfort them while they're getting a shot. Use distractions like teddy bears, pinwheels, or bubbles to divert attention away from the needle. Don't pin kids down on an exam table. Parents should hold children in their laps instead. At Children's Minnesota, Friedrichsdorf practiced the Children's Comfort Promise. Now he and other health care providers are rolling out these new protocols for children at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals in San Francisco and Oakland, California. He's calling it the Ouchless Jab Challenge. If a child at these hospitals needs to get poked for a blood draw, vaccine, or IV treatment, Friedrichsdorf promises clinicians will do everything possible to follow these pain management steps. "Every child, every time," he said. It seems unlikely that the ouchless effort will make a dent in vaccine hesitancy and refusal driven by the anti-vaccine movement, since the deeply held beliefs that drive it are often rooted in conspiracies. But that isn't necessarily Friedrichsdorf's goal. He hopes making routine health care less painful can sway away parents who may be hesitant to get their children vaccinated because of how hard it is to see them in pain. In turn, children who grow into adults without a fear of needles might be more likely to get preventive care, including their yearly flu shot. In general, the onus will likely be on parents to take a leading role in demanding these measures at medical centers, Friedrichsdorf said, because the tolerance and acceptance of children's pain is so entrenched among clinicians. Diane Meyer, a palliative care specialist at Mount Sinai Health System, agrees. She said this tolerance is a major problem, stemming from how doctors are usually trained. "We are taught to see pain as an unfortunate but inevitable side effect of good treatment," Meyer said. We learn to repress that feeling of distress at the pain we are causing, because otherwise we can't do our jobs. During her medical training, Meyer had to hold children down for procedures, which she described as torture for them and for her. It drove her out of pediatrics. She went into geriatrics instead, and later helped lead the modern movement to promote palliative care in medicine, which only became an accredited specialty in the United States in 2006. Meyer said she thinks the campaign to reduce needle pain and anxiety should be applied to everyone, not just to children. People with dementia have no idea why human beings are approaching them to stick needles in them, she said. And the experience can be painful and distressing. Friedrichsdorf's techniques would likely work with dementia patients too, she said. Numbing cream, distraction, something sweet in the mouth, and perhaps music from the patient's youth that they remember and can sing along to. It's worthy of study, and it's worthy of serious attention, Meyer said. Our next story comes from Health Day News. Study shows human brains are getting bigger with each generation. Human brains are getting larger with each generation, potentially adding more brain reserve and reducing the overall risk of dementia, researchers recently reported in the journal JAMA Neurology. People born in the 1970s have nearly 7% larger brain volume and almost 15% larger brain surface area than folks born in the 1930s, according to the results of the 75-year study. The decade someone is born appears to impact brain size and potentially long-term brain health, said lead researcher Dr. Charles DeCarli, director of the University of California, Davis, Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. For the study, researchers analyzed brain scans of participants in the Framingham Heart Study, a multi-generational project launched in 1948 to analyze disease patterns among people in the town of Framingham, Massachusetts. The study has continued for 75 years and now includes second and third generation participants. MRIs of the participants' brains were conducted between 1999 and 2019. Researchers found gradual but consistent increases in several brain structures when comparing participants born in the 30s to those born in the 70s. White matter, gray matter, and the hippocampus, a region involved in language and memory, were all larger in people born in the 1970s, results show. This could jibe with Alzheimer's disease trends in the U.S., researchers said. About 7 million Americans currently live with Alzheimer's, and that number is expected to rise above 11 million by 2040. But the percentage of the total population affected by Alzheimer's is actually decreasing, with about a 20% reduction in the dementia rate every decade since the 1970s, researchers said. This increase in brain size might be one reason why the rate of Alzheimer's is declining, DeCarli said. Larger brain structures, like those observed in our study, may reflect improved brain development and improved brain health, DeCarli said in a university news release. A larger brain structure represents a larger brain reserve and may buffer the late-life effects of age-related brain diseases like Alzheimer's and related dementias. Now let's move over to the advice column written by Amy Dickinson, entitled Ask Amy. Shower guest baffled by gift, money requests. The first letter, Dear Amy, how should I react to some of the baffling requests for gifts and money when invited to wedding showers, weddings, and baby showers? I just received an invitation for my niece's baby shower. My sister is her mom. Request number one was for a book instead of a card. Okay, fine, but she is asking people to give this along with a gift. She then offered for guests to enter in a raffle if they would bring a package of diapers. This is in addition to the gift and the book. She then said not to wrap the gift and to have the gift sent directly to their home so she could visit with her guests instead of opening these gifts in front of them. Not, of course, because opening gifts and acknowledging the people giving them is tedious and schlepping the gifts home is annoying. At a baby shower for a friend's daughter, I felt I'd broken the rules when I gave a gift that was not on the registry. This was in addition to giving a wedding shower gift and a wedding gift to someone I barely know. Am I just overly sensitive because I got married at the courthouse and don't have kids? Can I decline some of these events and send a not-so-extravagant gift? Signed, Petty. And the response, Dear Petty, remember this. Anyone can ask for anything. It's a free country. But receiving a request does not obligate you to do anything about it except to politely RSVP to an invitation. Back when I was an expectant mother, baby showers were held in someone's living room. Gifts were opened in front of the guests, and a parade of tiny onesies were held up for everyone to appreciate. The guests were thanked and acknowledged at the time, and if the expectant mother was savvy and polite, a note would be sent to each afterward. My insight into modern baby showers comes from a few I've attended recently, which are held in banquet halls and attended by dozens of women. Unwrapped gifts are placed on a table, and guests pick up their pre-printed thank you note on the way out of the venue. I do like the trend toward not wrapping gifts at these huge events due to the waste. Registries can be extremely helpful. They tell you what the recipient wants or needs, but you are not obligated to buy a gift off the registry. The next letter, Dear Amy, I need a gut check. I've been with my girlfriend Stella for 3 years. We are in our late 20s. Stella is great. She is gorgeous and loving and very nice. Everyone loves her. I do too. The problem I'm having is that she is extremely gullible. She believes whatever conspiracy nonsense has most recently floated through her social media feed. Most of this misinformation has to do with health-related issues, and because she follows and comments on it, she is fed more of it. Her latest bit is that she believes the cell phones cause brain cancer. She can believe whatever she wants, but this is starting to interfere with my own life because she's trying to influence me. I'm tired of this and thinking of breaking up with her, but this seems like a trivial reason to break up with someone who is so great in every other respect. Can you weigh in? Signed, Board. And the response, Dear Board, what a person thinks and how a person thinks is not a trivial matter. According to you, your girlfriend is also trying to control you. Do you want to go through life having to defend your own rational choices? Do you want to possibly have a family with someone whose views about health and wellness are so radically different from your own? I sincerely doubt it. And the last letter, Dear Amy, tricked in Illinois, believed her mother was manipulating her, asking for a ride to church. My late mother wanted a ride to church on Christmas Eve, and I was too busy and selfish to notice. She got a ride with my brother-in-law, who was divorced from my sister. He understood. I will always regret that day. Signed, Wanda. And the response, Dear Wanda, tricked in Illinois, described a history of manipulation, but I hope she will make her choice based upon your perspective. Well, let's recap. So far, we've gone through health columns. We've gone through advice columns. What next? Well, next would be the future. So let's look into the future by reading the horoscopes by tarot.com. Let's lead off with Aries, March 21st to April 19th. Routines will bring stability to your day. If you're not allowing yourself to relax into patterns, valuable opportunities might slip through the cracks. Start with simple tweaks like going to bed earlier or eating healthier, and don't forget to give space for a little healthy chaos. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. Spiritual balance may come to you more easily now. Reaching equilibrium will be invaluable, so don't wait to begin realigning your sense of self and goals. Make cultivating that inner peace a priority. You can begin by sitting down and pondering your life. Get in touch with yourself. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. Reach out to your community and collaborate with those who are willing to give their time and energy to you. If you start feeling exhausted or overwhelmed, don't be afraid to ask for help or patience in order to continue marching toward your goals. Go get them. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd. You're creating a reputation as someone trustworthy. The more you make an effort to show others how genuine you are, the more you will be able to connect. It's hard to relate to a perfect person, so avoid showing off. Sometimes all you have to do is show that you're human too. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. As you accept and learn from your past mistakes, you can find both guidance and peace. You know you have time to correct your course and get where you want to be. It's never too late to start acting like your ideal self. Your true self is strong enough to resist that upcoming temptation. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. A fresh perspective can show you new things about yourself. Spend time today pondering all you've overcome despite any opposition that threw roadblocks. Life isn't always easy or fair, but it's important to remember that you made it through. Be proud of yourself. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd. The right people will make all the difference today. Consider signing up for a community class or hobby club to look for like-minded individuals. The only mistake would be to give up and resign yourself to loneliness. Find comfort in the connections you can make. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st. Your life may be running smoothly when it comes to organization, but the people around you may be in chaos at this moment. This isn't necessarily connected to your immediate life, but other people you know could be reaching out for a lifeline. You can give that to them. Help spread the peace. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. You're learning how to trust your intuition and when to move versus when to hold back. Analyzing the potential gains versus losses of any gamble will be a key part of finding success. You may find yourself facing some judgment, but don't hesitate to follow your path. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Your inner life may now feel stable, but your material life might still cause some stress. When your emotions are in a good place, you'll be able to recognize yourself for who you are and understand what drives you. Take a breath and remind yourself that this too shall pass. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Communication can connect you when you're feeling isolated. While it can be scary to reach out to others when you feel alone, it's important to remember that everyone feels alone sometimes. Getting your feelings off your chest should let you feel at ease once more. And finally, Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Someone may have revealed themselves as a person you can't trust or who isn't in your corner the way you thought they were. Without directly retaliating, you can slowly step back. It may be tempting to get revenge, but it's important to take things one step at a time and focus on yourself. And next up is the commentary column by Joe Pisani. Did I say that? My plan to save Earth. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about climate change, not to mention global warming, especially after our street got hit with so much flooding, my neighbor's yard turned into Lake Okeechobee, and I was worried about the infestation of alligators. It's been a rainy season, and more monsoons are on the way, and I'm already really tired of wet vacuuming our basement and pumping out the yard. I'm not sure who's to blame. China? India? My cousin's gas-guzzling mega cab Ram 3500 pickup? Taylor Swift's private jet? Those plastic bags from Walmart? Our hot water heater? Anyway, it's time for the little guy to take action, especially after years of listening to legislators beat their conga drums and hearing celebrities virtue signaling in Hollywood, where they have the highest rate of hypocrites per capita in the world. Forget AOC and the Green New Deal, or is it the New Green Deal, and Greta Thunberg and whatever deal she's doing. I've come up with my own deal to save the planet just in time for Earth Day. First of all, the government should keep its paws off our gas stoves and go after the real culprits in the fashion and beauty industries. Ban those polyester stretch pants that women and men wear and dress them in denim overalls, preferably with suspenders. The Kardashians would look great in farm girl ensembles. After the oil industry, the fashion industry is the second biggest polluter, and polyester is a large part of the problem. Most polyester and polyester blends are either incinerated, releasing carbon dioxide and potentially harmful toxins into the air, which contributes to air pollution and climate change, or sent to landfills, says the Sustainable Fashion Forum. Polyester items do not biodegrade easily and pose long-term environmental harm when landfilled. And let's not ignore the $50 billion beauty industry with its wasteful packaging and excessive use of natural resources such as soy and palm. If Joe Biden tells movie stars and celebrities to go makeup-free, it will also cut down on the number of selfies they take, significantly reducing social media pollution. Sorry, but you people with hair have to do your part too. No more hair dryers. It's a small price to pay for a clean planet. Sooner or later, the feds will break down your bathroom door and confiscate your hair dryer. It's a small price to pay. One hair dryer sends 60 pounds of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere a year, or 120 pounds if it's my wife's. We also have to go after manufacturers of plastic and styrofoam cups and plates. Why are paper products so hard to find? And why do they cost twice as much as plastic? Then we have to repeal that tax on grocery bags. The price of groceries has gone up so much in the last 4 years, supermarkets should be giving us free bags. And what about this 10-cent deposit on cans and bottles? Let the towns and cities pay for it, since they're making millions off the stuff we put in recycling bins every week. Plus, it's time to get rid of K-cups, which aren't biodegradable or recyclable and won't decompose for 500 years. Bring back the percolator coffee pot, which makes a cup of Joe that will stick to your ribs and your molars. Joe Biden also needs to ban leaf blowers and make Americans rely on their rakes the way they did in the olden days. It's better for people, better for the soil, and better for the planet. If he's serious about sustainability, he should ban public officials and politicians from taking private jets. Make them join the rest of humanity on commercial jets, where parts are falling off, doors are opening, people are fighting, and viruses are running wild at 37,000 feet. Instead of snooping on retirees, the feds should round up activists who deface paintings, such as the Mona Lisa, and send them on road gangs to pick up litter along interstate highways so they can do something productive rather than destructive. To critics who insist I don't know what I'm talking about, I resoundingly respond, I agree. But that doesn't stop me from talking, just like every Tom, Dick, and Mary in America. In fact, it should qualify me to have my own talk show, podcast, and late-night comedy gig like Stephen Colbert. Lastly, I'd require every American, young and old, large and small, of every race, creed, and gender, to plant a tree on Arbor Day, which is April 26th. That would give our country 34.5 million more trees a year. This observance began 140 years ago when the Reverend Birdseye Northrup, a Yale graduate, advocated establishing Arbor Day in our state and country. He also traveled to Japan, Australia, Europe, and Canada to promote the cause. Consider this. A century ago, the United States had only 70 million trees because of deforestation. Today, there are 230 million. One person can make a difference when they stop complaining and take action. So, that's my plan to save the planet. It's not the Green Deal, it's the crazy deal. And since we always could use more advice, we're going to switch the advice column of Abigail Van Buren. Dear Abby, woman believes mom is playing favorites. The first letter, Dear Abby, I am on a limited income. My younger sister, Tara, is a medical professional with disposable income she spends on frivolous things. I have one son, age 13. She has three children, ages 14, 10, and 3. Tara and I live a few miles apart. Our mother lives 60 miles away. My mother keeps my sister's kids every other week. She barely keeps my son. I must bring my son to her. She drives all the way to Tara's house to pick up her kids and take them home. I have borrowed a rather decent sum of money from my mother. She regularly asks me about paying it back. She spends a lot of extra money on food for Tara's kids because of their special dietary needs. Between that and all the driving back and forth, my mother has spent nearly twice as much catering to my sister as what I have borrowed in the same amount of time. I feel this is very one-sided, and that for some reason, my mother cares more about Tara than about me. I also feel like my son is neglected by my mother. Am I wrong for feeling like this? Should I say something or just leave it alone? Signed, Lopsided in Georgia. And the response, Dear Lopsided, it appears you are jealous of your sister for many reasons. Your mother has the right to spend her time and money on whatever she pleases, as does your sister. I don't know why your mother favors Tara's children. Perhaps it's time to ask her why. As to her request you repay the money she has loaned you, I suggest you work out a repayment plan starting now in the hope that it will improve your relationship with her. But if that doesn't happen, arrange for someone else to watch your son. The next letter, Dear Abby, when I met my husband, I felt valued, but ever since I got pregnant, he no longer considers my feelings or treats me as a priority. I have to beg for his support, but when his mom and sister need help, he is quick to help them. The reason I married him was because he seemed loyal and dedicated to his family, and I thought he would be that way with us. However, during the last few months of my pregnancy, I have felt ignored. He is not really excited about the baby, and we haven't bonded while I'm pregnant. I feel like I'm the last item on his list. I am slowly detaching from him. Even if things change when the baby is here, I don't think I'll respect him or have those love feelings anymore. I now see him in a different light that I find unattractive. Please help. Signed, At a Crossroads in Maine. And the response, Dear Crossroads, before this goes any further, recognize that you have steered yourself to a fork in the road. The path you should take is the one that leads to your OBGYN's office. Your doctor should be told what is happening in your head and in your marriage, because you could be experiencing symptoms of prepartum depression. Do not put this off. Your baby is going to need a father, and the further you distance yourself from your husband, the less likely it will be that they have one. That's the way it went on the back pages. I'm Rick Gray. So long until next time.